everyone, and welcome to the Nationals Review Podcast. This is episode 22. It is July the 18th, and we are back with the official podcast for thenationalsreview.com. And my name is Colin, but I cannot do this, of course, without the heart and soul of thenationalsreview.com, and that is no other than Charles Flegel.
Mr. Colm, coming off the All-Star break, how you doing?
Wow. One of my favorite times of year, except for the day after, which now they give us a weird award show. Two days now, that's right.
I don't even want to talk about the ESPYs.
I don't even understand that show.
Such a waste of time. So stupid. It's like so self-congratulatory.
Ridiculous categories.
I literally did not watch a minute or read about it for a minute this year.
All right. I don't even want to give it any more press than that.
No more ESPY talk.
Yeah, no more ESPY talk. So how are you?
Good. Do you have a frothy beverage in front of you on this 100-degree evening?
100-degree evening? Yes. I've gotten to a very weird part of my life, probably. I'm sure I'll get made fun of for my selection tonight. I've taken a liking to Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Yes.
Have you been hanging out with my father-in-law?
Maybe. It's come to the point where that will be my drink of choice week after week now.
Well, I've had some in my life because my father-in-law is actually a pretty large man, like not overweight large, like
right.
Big, tough guy. Used to lift a lot of weights, used to be like an electrician,
mm-hmm.
But doesn't know what's fashionable or not. So like,
Told me this great story. This is a great one.
The one story that I like is we were at a wedding once,
right.
And we got like appletinis or something. Like me and
amazing.
My brother-in-law got it for the wives, and he walks over and he's like, "Oh, a drink," and we're like, "Yeah, you can have it." He's like, "This is really good," and like I guess I would probably think it was a little too sweet, but he doesn't drink that much. So if you don't know anything about what you're drinking, you're just like, "Oh, this tastes like candy. I'll drink it." And then like three later, we're like, "Those are like." Kind of girly drinks, and he's like, "Really? I kind of like him." And we're like, "Well, you can keep drinking if you want."
Keep drinking them,
and he's like,
"Terrible.
I don't know about that." And so he had to stop that, but he does buy Mike's Hard Lemonade sometimes.
Well, and, great man,
and I don't really fault him for it. It's not my favorite, but when it's 100 degrees and you're sitting outside,
yes, they're incredible.
Somebody hands you one, you'll take it.
The thing that it gets worse, though, with me is that I started on the regular brand, right? Was loving it. Like, could drink three of them, feel wonderful. But then I started being like, wow, I'm drinking a lot of these. I better go to the diet version.
Diet? Like, I thought you were going to tell me you went to, like, the
Smirnoff Ice, change brand.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, like, you had Kirkland Hard Lemonade or something.
No, I've gone as far as going to the diet. And the diet does the same, just it just doesn't have that amazing sugar taste that the regular brand
has. Yeah, the same amount of alcohol. That's,
right.
That's what matters, because diet beer does not have the same amount of alcohol.
Right. So, what are you drinking, like a man?
Like a man, I'm drinking I'm drinking Cutlass from the Heavy Seas.
Ooh, I've never had it.
It's, I like Heavy Seas has a ding, ding, ding. If you look at the beer list that I made of the map,
amazing
of Nats Park, Heavy Seas actually has an IPA that's pretty hoppy that they sell at Nats Park. I can't remember what it's called, but anyway,
I have to check where that is now because now I want it.
Well, it's in the Red Porch.
Oh, wow. Do they sell Mike's Hard Lemonade there as well?
They might. I didn't check out all the bottles in the Red Porch. But anyway, Loose Cannon is the name of the IPA, which I really like.
All right, I'm going to write that down.
Cutlass, it's not my favorite. It's an amber lager. It's not my favorite amber lager.
Okay.
But it was what was in the fridge, and it was this or my wife's Summer Shandy. And
wow. I can't get into the wines.
No, the Summer Shandy is the half lemonade, half beer that they offer.
Oh, I haven't had that. Yeah, that sounds right up my alley.
I think I like Mike's Hard Lemonade better.
Oh, okay.
But to each his own. I'm not going to make fun of you to your face about it.
Right, no. I love it. I think because it says Mike, it's like, yeah, I can go with this.
The commercials make you feel manly when you...
Yes, they have good marketing with that. I think that's what got me, actually, was the new marketing.
Well, before we get into the baseball talk, Colm, you were out in L.A. last
I was.
Year. Did you see Yasiel Puig when you were there?
I did not. I did purchase a Los Angeles Dodgers hat, which it was a different color style than the one that they sell in our area. So I picked it up.
What does it look like?
It's the same material like that Nats one I really like now. The what is that? I guess it's their pregame hat.
Batting practice.
Yeah, it's white on the face. So this one is blue and white. Yeah, this one's blue back with a white brim, and the one they sell around us has the gray back.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the blue way better. So it looks like the Colts almost. Exactly like the Colts would look if they made a hat.
Bulls like
that. Yeah, so, yeah, I had a great time out there. I wanted to go to a game, and we flirted with the idea, and then we were in Anaheim, and then they were not in Anaheim, so that was already out of there.
Well, but, your sister's TV show.
Yes.
It's doing well.
It is.
So you went as her date to the launch party? Is that how?
Yes, I actually
That's
got
very
the
cool of her. Thank you.
So cool. I mean, I'd knowing never been to anything might, like that.
Yeah, knowing that you might embarrass her at any moment.
Yes, she said I did an excellent job. It was crazy to experience that. I think everyone should sell like tours to do that because
right.
I mean, basically you get out and then there's just a row of photographers. And then like if you're ever having a bad, like you've had the worst week of your life, if they told you to start at the end of a runway and all the photographers knew who you were and told you to go to the end, by the end of that trip, you'd be like, wow, I feel great about myself.
Until the next night when like Joan Rivers is talking about how awful you're out.
Right. Right, but it's, like, amazing how they were just screaming your name and all that. So, anyway, then we watched season two, which she's not even in the first episode.
So, your sister is Kellen.
Oh, right. I should probably set that up.
She's on Newsroom, which is a show on – it's on HBO, right?
Yes, HBO.
And she's buddies with some of the people from she was on a few episodes of The Office as well. So did you meet anybody from The Office? Or
did I meet anyone from The Office? Oh, I met a ton of people from the newsroom. I went back now and watched the whole first season again because now I know everyone.
Realize that you knew you met people.
Yeah, exactly. And like I actually know them in a different way.
Are you like Twitter friends with the anchor now?
No, I did talk to Jeff Daniels about he talked to us for, I guess, for like a couple of minutes. Uh-huh. And I got to ask him about Dumb and Dumber 2.
I was going
to
say, please tell me you addressed him as Harry.
I told him that that movie's incredible and that were the rumors true that they're actually going to bring it back for a second one. And he confirmed that he is filming it in September.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so that was awesome. And then I asked him, there was one time he did a movie with, I mean, this makes no sense, about... Anyway, in the movie, he's this blind guy, and he picks up a guitar, and he plays a lick and says something about Doc Watson. Now, little do you know this fact is that he follows my dad already on Twitter, and supposedly he's like a big fan of Doc and all that. So I asked him if he improv that line, and he couldn't remember the scene.
Couldn't remember the scene. Well, your dad is a accomplished bass player. Not famous, but well-known by people that know music. And so that's pretty cool. So so now is Jeff Daniels following you on Twitter?
No, no one. The only person I came out of that is like he follows me, I follow him, is Chris Chalk of he was in Homeland season one. He's in Newsroom and he's in Justified. He was just in that show and he was so I got to hang out with him at Magic Castle and then at the premiere. So I got to know him for two nights and he was a great guy. I had a lot of fun with him.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you, I assume you went on a date with Olivia Munn afterwards?
No, stood me up. Can you believe it? She showed up. I got to get as close as the other photographers and just put my phone in there because I was having the best time. I was just walking around, like, doing whatever I want. And I took pictures of her. So then you go straight into the premiere. So then I saw her, like, sitting in her seats, and I told my sister, like, you have to introduce me to her.
She's like a nerd fantasy girl, right?
Yes, exactly. So we watch the show. We come out, and as soon as we get out, we talk to her best friend, who my sister knows. And he's like, she already left. She has another project. And I was like, it's over already.
Project is not meeting Colm.
Not me. So then I sat at her table that she had because I knew she was gone.
Did you give trivia questions to the dude that was in Slumdog Millionaire that's on the show?
No, but he sat with me at Olivia Munn's table, Deb Patel.
Dev Patel. That's
yes. He was very cool, too. He grabbed my head and said, "Are you not having the best time?" And I was like, "Yes."
That's awesome. Very cool.
It was good. I had a great time. It was fun to pretend to be a celebrity.
Well, you're a celebrity in our book. You're the most famous co-host of
this
show. That's
true. I've probably been on more podcasts than anyone. If they actually took a record to all the shows I did an episode on,
you know,
I'd definitely
we should probably talk about that because, you know, I write the blog mm-hmm. and people know me only as the person that writes the blog, and that's the only reason they would know me, but they don't necessarily know you because you don't really write stuff.
No, never. Terrible writer.
You know, the reason that we started to do the podcast, it was actually Colm's idea. Colm came to me and said, you know, we should really do a podcast. We'll just talk about baseball or yep. just talk about the Nats. And I said, well, you know, it'd probably be more fun for both of us to just talk about the Nats.
Right.
And
it makes us follow it.
Colm's a podcast pioneer.
I am.
Back in the day when, like, most of us didn't even have Apple products, you were big into Apples.
I was.
Big into Macs. It was probably when the iPod first came out, and you just started doing podcasts just for the heck of it. So you've been doing it for, like, 10 years now.
It's crazy to think about it. I would love to go back and write down all the shows I've been in and then submit it to Guinness Book of World Records for the most hosts. Her co-host.
Well, the original show was called The Culmination, right?
Correct.
And that's now your email address.
Yeah, there it is. I branded the whole thing. If you search it on Google, that's all you'll find. It's all my stuff.
Very good, sir.
Anyway, enough about us. Well, me, pretty much. We're talking too much about me.
Talk about it because there wasn't a whole lot of Nats playing recently.
Right, correct.
We just came off the All-Star game. So
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
My first question to you is, growing up, All-Star game, important to you, not important?
Super cool as a kid because we are old enough that they didn't have interleague play.
Right.
In the 80s when we, you know, I probably started watching, I don't know, my memory is not so good. Maybe it's because I'm drinking beer, not Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Because then I'll tell you mine because we're about the same age. We're exactly the same age, so I'll tell you my memories.
You know, I really started remembering games
uh-huh.
and stuff would happen on TV like the mid-80s. Like I remember the 85
yes.
World Series vague. Like I remember.
Remember Kansas City, right.
I remember like Vince Coleman in it. And then I really, really remember the 86.
Yes.
That's Red Sox. And so yeah. like and, it was about the time that I really start to – I mean I'm sure I watched it before then, but I was young enough that I just didn't remember it. So
right.
I just thinking about like what the All-Star game meant in like the late 80s and the early 90s when I was growing up and remembering it was a big, big deal, right?
Yep.
And it was like I grew up in a town that only showed AL games, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I grew up in the D.C. area and all we had was the Orioles on TV. And I spent a lot of the time in the summer going up to my aunt and uncle live in New Jersey and they only watched the Yankees there. So like
wow.
they didn't even really watch the Mets and we went to Yankees games when I was a kid. Cause my uncle had like, you know, company suites kind of thing.
So
those were actually the first games that I went to were always up at Yankee Stadium, not at Old Memorial Stadium. So I grew up really only knowing the AL. So like when I would see the All-Star game, that was the only time I'd see those NL players.
Right. We didn't have ESPN either to see like.
Right. It was the combination. That you're absolutely right. It's a combination of no ESPN.
Right.
No internet.
No internet.
And no.
So yeah. sports scores. We only knew teams by just like the writing in the newspaper,
well,
like Kansas City.
Every morning you would wake up and you would like open the newspaper to see what the standings were. Like,
yeah.
oh, go to the AL East standings and see
yeah.
what's going. Because the two teams that I paid attention to were both in the AL East. So.
Right.
Yeah, it was
terrible. It was terrible.
It was terrible. And, you know, I don't know if it would have been different growing up. Like, I never felt like I grew up in the Baltimore Orioles fan area.
You did? I did.
I knew everybody was an Orioles fan, but I never really associated with the city. Like, I liked Cal Ripken, and I would root for the Orioles
right.
if I went to a game. But, like, I never really felt like an O's fan. And so I wonder if it would have been different if the Nats were here and they were more ubiquitous to like our area. But I do remember every night, like turning on George Michael or whatever to
right.
see what happened in the game tonight.
Right.
In any Redskins game Orioles game, whatever. That's when you would find out on the 11 o'clock newscast. Yeah. And so it was a different world. But, yeah, that the All-Star game used to mean a lot more, I think. Right. And now
– which is funny. It's almost ironic.
Now it means more.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
But I don't know. I like the whole spectacle. I'm into, like, the sort of fun of it. It doesn't count. You know, somebody made the point today that people were bitching that, like, Mariano won the MVP and he didn't deserve it. It's like he didn't deserve it in a game that's kind of meaningless. I mean, I know it has meaning, but, like, who cares? The same people that are, like, complaining that the All-Star game's stupid are the ones that are like, Mariano shouldn't have won the MVP. Like, I just don't.
Let's not give it to the Hall of Famer who we'll never see again, and it won't matter in the long-term scheme
of things. He deserves the MVP.
Yeah, it was a 3-0 boring. Oh, wait, I'm already getting into it.
He deserves the MVP for the way the rest of the players looked at him when he came on.
Yeah.
It was a very cool intro.
He wears number 42, the only player in the game.
Oh.
It's amazing. I don't understand. People are so stupid and get so mad about that.
So let's talk a little bit about the votes.
Yes.
So the starting lineup. Let's just go through it real quick. So in the AL, Mauer started at catcher,
having one of the best seasons ever.
And you and I both voted for Mauer.
Yes.
So no disagreement there. And next down the list, Chris Davis. We both.
Wow.
Went for Davis.
What do you think? You think he's going to break the record?
No, I don't. Actually, wow. I think there's a lot of time. Well, first of all, everybody's talking about how he's at 37 home runs halfway through the season. It's a lot closer to two-thirds of the way through the season than
halfway through
the season. So, I just think this happens, and we get excited, and then it slows down. Now, I don't think it's beyond him. I think he's talented enough to do it. I just, in the end, I don't think we'll break the record. But let's talk about the record and what we feel the record is a little bit later.
The record's 61.
We'll talk about it later.
Asterisk.
All right. So we both voted for Cano. So catcher, first base, done. All right. Shortstop. J.J. Hardy was the starter. Yep. I voted for Jed Lowry. You voted for Johnny Peralta. You feel like your guy got snubbed?
No. J.J. Hardy's having a good enough year. And he's defensively, I would probably pick him. Oh, no, that's not true. He's definitely deserving of the position, that's all I'll say. Well,
Peralta actually made it, actually, but Lowry didn't. But I'm not up in arms about him not making it.
Right.
Cabrera.
Come on.
Oh, no, actually. Yeah, Cabrera. And then an outfield. So the outfielders that started were Trout, Jones, and Bautista.
Yep.
You voted for
Trout, Jones, and Bautista. Yeah,
I voted for Trout, Jones, and Nate McLeod. And what did I tell you? What did I say? I said, I can't believe I'm voting for Nate McLeod.
I couldn't believe it either.
But do you know that Nate McLeod has a .350 on base percentage and he's got 24 stolen bases? I don't know. Yeah. I just, you know, he's having a good season.
He's still Nate McLeod.
I know. He's still Nate McLeod.
He's still going to be on a different team next year doing the same thing.
Joey Beth deserves it over him. I just thought, like, I think he's had, you know what, it's one of those things where I voted for him because I think he's underappreciated, not necessarily because I think he deserves it.
Right.
What about on the NL side? So there's where we had some different votes, right?
Right.
So you had Votto at first base.
Yes.
And I had
Goldschmidt. Right.
And the winner was
Joey Votto.
Votto.
Because America loves him.
She's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I skipped catcher. Yachty. Yeah. And we both had Yachty, I think. Right. So. And then second base, Brandon Phillips was a starter.
I didn't have.
I had Matt Carpenter as a starter. He made it, so whatever. Yeah. You had Jed Yorko, which is not – look, that's not a bad pick. That's having
a
great season, and he's underappreciated. You know – the guy that gets voted in isn't necessarily the most deserving. I think if Yorko made it in, he would be totally deserving. But anyway.
Right.
Shortstop and third base, we had Desmond and Zimmerman.
Oh.
They didn't make it. Now, Zimmerman, Wright's having a better year. I voted
for
him because I love him. And he's been great since he came back. But he missed a little bit of enough time that his numbers just aren't up there with what Wright has done. And even if he had played the whole season as well, I don't know that he'd be quite where Wright is. So I don't think he got snubbed per se.
Mm-mm.
picking him over Pedro Alvarez. Like, Pedro Alvarez, I guess they needed somebody. Well, no, they
didn't. I didn't get that. Pedro Alvarez.
Yeah, I was
no.
Say they needed somebody from the Pirates, but Jason Grilli.
They did. Oh, yeah, he did make it. You're right.
Now, I don't know if Grilli was named later, and maybe so they needed a Pirate. No, McCutcheon was.
Yeah, McCutcheon. So,
yeah, I mean.
Alvarez is having a good year. I just didn't think he was deserving of a start.
So Pedro Alvarez has 24 home runs.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's nice. He also has a .311 on base, a .250 batting.
Oh. So, I don't get it.
Zimmerman, meanwhile, doesn't have 24 home runs, but he's not batting .250. He's batting .270, and he doesn't have a .311 on base. He has a .350 on base. So I think Zimmerman's the more valuable hitter right now, but, you know, whatever, 24 home runs get you noticed, so I guess they put him on the team. But I think I'm not going to go so far as to say Zimmerman got snubbed, but I think he was more deserving than Alvarez. Now, our shortstop, I think, did get snubbed.
Yeah.
I think Desmond is having arguably a better season than everybody except maybe Tulowitzki.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, it's like he's got – so if you go on the list of shortstops – which I'm going to pull up right now. I believe he's second in OPS. And, you know, look, Tulo's great, and I don't want to compare. I don't want to try and compare him, but no, sorry, Tulo's not qualified, so he's not on the list. But were he on the list, he has a better. 230 at-bats is enough for me to say that, yes, he's got the best OPS, fine. And Hanley has under 150 at-bats and is even better, but I don't even want to talk about Hanley. Under 150 at-bats doesn't count. But Segura is number two behind Tulo.
I love Segura.
And yeah. Segura totally deserved of being there. I'm cool with that. I think Segura should have been there, but I don't think Everest Cabrera should have been there. That
no, been I agree.
That,
yeah.
That's my one big...
That was a defensive pick. That guy's a great defenseman.
Desmond's pretty good with the glove.
Well, that's true, but...
All right, outfield. I had... Who did I have? Cargo, Bryce Harper, and Carlos Gomez.
Love him.
And I had... And
I know, Gonzalez I like.
And I had Cargo, Carlos Beltran, and Harper. So the starting lineup was Harper and Cargo and Beltran.
Yeah.
You got it. And... Gomez made
You loved Gomez, too.
No
you love him.
No snubs. Now, there was one other snub that I think is important to mention.
Who?
Steven Strasburg.
You
don't think he got snubbed?
I mean, he has an under 3 ERA, yes, but his record is so bad that they couldn't have done it.
A record doesn't matter.
I agree, but in the All-Star game, it does.
It doesn't have anything to do with him.
I agree with you.
Before they made the selection, now he had a bad game right after it. He's probably really hurt.
Right.
But before they made the selection, he was basically top 10 in ERA and strikeouts. And instead of taking him, they had to take a bunch of middle relievers that nobody wants to see.
No one wants to see. That's why the game is terrible. Don't you want to see super pitcher after super pitcher and guys just hitting home runs constantly? That's what I want.
Don't you want to see Jason Grilli and Travis Wood?
Oh, God.
No.
Sounds like a nightmare.
I think, you know, the whole point of this is, yes, the teams want to win, but it's supposed to be for fun for us to see all these people.
Yes.
So, like, every superstar that's having a decent season should be there.
Right.
And even if it means somebody like Desmond gets snubbed for Tulowitzki and Hanley. And now I'm okay with them not naming Hanley because he hadn't played, but
– yeah.
He has 150 or so at-bats, and he's got the best OPS of any shortstop in the league. Like, he's batting, like, .350 right now or something ridiculous like that. Like, I'd be fine if they brought Hanley along because
– Really? You would?
Because I'd rather see the stars.
So oh, Hanley, yeah, but you're just saying no matter what, he gets a free pass, but he really hasn't played.
Well, he's batting .386. He's, like, killing the ball. You know, he's killing it.
Okay, so then what are you saying? Because they cut off the votes too early.
Yeah, maybe they did. Well,
right.
But the team got selected after the votes, right? I don't
know. That's true. The reserves did
win the when the player or the fan vote, but like when they're debating between like Everett Cabrera and Hanley Ramirez, like,
yeah, I can see what you're saying.
I want to see Hanley. I don't know. That's right. Just my opinion. Like, make it a fun, make it as fun as possible.
Well, who else is there from San Diego?
Maybe they needed somebody from San Diego.
Yeah, it must be. I can't think of another player on that team.
So let's talk about the game itself.
Eric Stutz. Sorry.
Not a fan of the game, huh?
That's awful. Like, did you enjoy it at all? Like, I watched Bryce's at-bats.
I went to a place called – used to be called the Wing Hub. It's called Maggie's in Bethesda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I sat and had a pitcher of beer and some wings. So it's hard not to enjoy a game that's going on. So I didn't have to hear Tim McCarver for most of I went home at the end of time to hear him say him to hear him recite Enter Sandman, which was one of the worst things I've ever
heard. Who like was on base? Most... It was like Prince Fielder was on base.
No, there's Deadspin has a video of Prince Fielder running out his triple wall with the audio of him
that's
reciting.
That's what I saw, right.
But he just recited it when like after Rivera came in, and it was so awkward. It was awful. And I first of all, I was thinking like, how funny would it be of just thinking like of great sports moments in the history or great, like, great baseball moments and having him, Tim McCarver, recite Metallica lines.
It could be a whole genre now.
Whole genre of like the new internet meme or whatever.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I have a new respect for Joe Buck now, though, from watching that game. Because to keep Tim McCarver relevant and like awake in the game, he has to bring up players that were the favorite players of the players playing so that Tim McCarver has some reference of where he is. I remember he said, so and so is a huge fan of Will Clark. And he was like, oh, Will Clark, I remember him. And I was like, oh.
The funny thing is, like, this is a total. great example of like why guys need to be retired, like why announcers don't need to go on just because they're announcing. Like, Fox needs to be like, I think he's actually done next year or the year after.
Like, they need a new person. Like, look,
but Fox needs to go, this guy isn't really that good anymore, because when we were young, like, Carver was a good announcer. He was a very good,
very
good, very knowledgeable, and he's just like. He's past his prime. He's not that good anymore. And he keeps making millions because they're like, well, everybody knows Tim McCarver.
Right.
Like, just bring on a new guy that's good.
Plus, a color guy is so important. Like, the older guy can be the play-by-play, I think.
Yeah. No, I think if you – look, I would still listen to John Miller call a game, which he does for, like, the Giants radio, I think.
And I like Bob Costas doing my World Series. And
fine. I mean, I don't think Bob Costas is – bad. He's the same Bob Costas as he's always been. I think McCarver is not as good as he used to be.
Oh, I can't stand him. So anyway, I didn't enjoy it. Also, I want high scores.
I wanted more scoring too. Yeah. I mean, it's an all-star game. You want to see, you know, some scoring for sure.
Right. You want to see someone throw the ball, Randy Johnson throw the ball at someone, and John Kruk do that gimmick that he was doing about being afraid.
Right.
It's supposed to be like fun, and now it's like way too tense and like we have to win this game.
Oh, so you think the tension's too high?
Yeah, I don't like it. That's why it was low scoring.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some of the fun is taken out of it, but I don't know. I mean, I think this is one year that happened to be low scoring. 2 years in a row, but
yeah, I think they actually play harder, and it made me really enjoy the Home Run Derby more. Like, I really loved watching that.
The Home Run Derby, I have to say, I really liked.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's the only thing I would do. If there's any way to make them hit at the same time, would be even better. Like, two at a time would be awesome. I don't know how that could ever be done, but...
You mean just because it's a little too slow?
It's a little too slow. They have too many outs sometimes, so sometimes you're just like, oh, so then you're just waiting for one of those kids in the outfield to, like, run into the other kid. Sorry, that's terrible. But it's like, either it should go down to five outs or have them hit at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's too many outs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think some people sort of poo-poo the Home Run Derby as just being lame, but I think it's fun. I like watching the balls get launched out of the park. I agree that it takes a little bit long. And, like, Chris Berman is just...
Oh, God, that's another one. Oh, God.
So annoying. It's almost like he's trying to be annoying.
Yeah, I think that's all he knows. He has, like, just one gimmick that he runs over. Back, 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 back.
The funny thing was, he was talking about something, and I don't remember what it was, so I'm just going to make something up. Let's say he was talking about, like, I don't know, Brandon Phillips doing a charity event or something. And he's like, and somebody's swinging and hitting. He's like, yeah, and so there's Brandon Phillips sitting with, you know, because the guys come down and sit with him and, like, talk to him about the, you know, Brandon Phillips will come up and sit at the table next to Berman and be like, oh, you know, Harper's really hitting the ball well. And Berman's like, yeah, there's Brandon Phillips. So anyway, somebody was sitting next to him and he's like, so Brandon, I hear you're at a charity event tomorrow. And I was just like, really? That just happened? Like, you realize how ridiculous that is? He literally did that once. And I was like, oh my God, that's not even, it's awful because you can tell, like, okay, you're not even doing this, like, emotionally and passionately. You're just doing it like there's a button on your back that somebody presses and you go, whack, 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 whack.
It's so terrible.
It's awful. But so, yeah. other than him, I like the Derby. Now, I saw a cool idea. I think it was Tom Verducci wrote it, and it would never work because it would take too long.
Okay.
But his idea was a 16-person tournament.
God. Yeah.
Like the Final Four. And so you would have matchups, and you could – he was like, you take the 9 best home run totals in the league. You take some – and if somebody from the home team is not one of those 9, you take them. So that – the host city.
Right.
So that there's good, always a contestant from the host city.
That's good.
The 9 top, and then – and then 6 wild cards, basically. So, like, Harper isn't in the top 9 this year, but they would take Harper because he's a monster.
Right.
And so you would just match people up. Like, you could do Harper versus Trout.
Wow. Or you this could do, like... This sounds like a dream baseball game.
Wright versus Cano, you know, stuff like that. And then it's basically, like, single elimination.
Wow. And that sounds like a video game.
It sounds like an amazing video game. It would take like a day and a half to do it as a home run derby, but I love the idea.
Right. I mean, they have enough time. Get rid of the game. I don't like the game.
You just want all derby all the time.
Yeah, just all derby. I mean, maybe do some fielding games we can come up with.
Somebody on the radio said that in South Korea they had a like bunting derby.
Fine.
Where they put targets up, and you had to, like, try and bunt to the thing.
Amazing. I'm all about gamifying every sport.
You don't want the actual baseball game.
No. But for this, for All-Star, like, fun things that the crowd can enjoy and be happy, and then they play the real serious game during the season. Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I kind of...
Like, I mean, basketball, I love slam dunk and three-point contests.
I was just thinking the same thing. I don't care at all about the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
I don't care at all about the NBA, but the All-Star game's terrible. But, like, I will watch the slam dunk contest sometime.
Right. Exactly.
And I even like the NHL skills competition.
Yep. The gimmick stuff in the middle is perfect. You don't need the stupid games. Fake games. I also
don't understand why they – I mean, I get it. There was one game where they ran out of pitchers.
Right.
Other than that, I don't care why they feel the need to make it count.
I don't get it. It's not a real game. You don't put in a different pitcher every 2 innings. It's stupid. That is not how you play baseball.
Right, and you don't take out your best player after 4 innings to put in your second best player at that position.
I hated it. So when they did that idea, I was like, this makes zero sense. It should be the team with the best record has home field, and that's the way it is.
100% agree.
That is so dumb.
And I think for the All-Star game, they should go, this year it ended in a tie. See you next year.
Yeah.
Who cares? Now it's all about TV, right? And so maybe it gets better ratings now. But why does everything have to be about ratings?
Yeah. Sometimes they need to just be like, this formula's working. We'll do more gimmick games like home run derby and bunting challenges.
What they need is they need to get somebody from like a minor league stadium in there.
Yeah.
And be like, all right, what should we do in between innings? And they're like, how about Trout and Harper have a foot race? Great.
Fine. You know what I used to love at those games? When they go, turn to page 126 if you have code.
If you have the Frederick Key symbol on your...
Yeah.
Yep.
People love that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do during games.
That's what they
foot
do.
Race between, like...
No, you vote with an app who has a foot race.
I want to see, like, Yadier Molina versus, I don't know, whoever started catching.
No, versus Alex Ovechkin, who's in the audience right now.
Right. Oh, look. There's Lawrence Taylor. And he's going to try and tackle John Segura.
Amazing.
If he can ever catch him.
See, that would be what they need to do. Anyway.
Kimbrel and Chapman, hardest pitch contest.
Oh, yeah. Hardest pitch would be awesome.
In between the fourth and fifth.
I like that. I like that. Would be a good all-star game thing, too. Just like people getting Tommy John after that event.
Yeah. I'm sure the Braves would be really happy with Chapman doing that. Braves and Reds. Awesome. All right. Well, enough about the All-Star game. I actually posted something last week that you helped me figure out, which was the All-Star under 25 squad.
Yes.
And it was just kind of like it basically the reason it came about was people were talking about how amazing it is that like Harper, Trout and now Machado are all under 21 or under 22. Machado and Harper are under 21.
That's crazy.
And they're just like three of the best players in the game right now. And so I wanted to make a team of all guys who are like actually could be considered the best, some of the best players in the game, at their position. So you helped me out with this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Catcher was actually a little tough, and we got some different input. But I picked Salvador Perez from the Royals.
He's awesome.
I think people haven't heard of him because he's on the Royals, but he's batting over 300, and it looks like. I mean, that's kind of what – he's 23, and that's what people had said about him 2 years ago, that he was a 300 hitter. So it's not like it's luck. I think he actually is a 300 hitter, but he is, like, probably one of the top five or at minimum 10 defensive catchers in baseball right now. So you're going to start – you know, remember when, like, Yadi started hitting and everybody was like, wow, a Molina can hit because they can really play defense.
Right.
And – that's what it's going to be. Like, pretty soon people are going to realize, like, Perez is an incredible defensive catcher, and he's a 300 hitter. So,
wow. Now, you know, I know another fact about him is that he's the reason the Royals got rid of Will Myers and traded him.
Oh, really?
Because Will Myers was a catcher for Kansas City, and I've had him for so many years on my fantasy team, and that's what it said when they traded him away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they probably should have kept him and moved him to left field. Or
they probably should have done that, but I think they got... because they saw – did they draft him? Yeah, they drafted him.
Didn't they get, like, Shields in return?
Yeah, and they got him. That's right.
Good job.
Shields.
Because they're under 500, right. And Shields is going to be gone soon.
What? Wow.
At first base, you said Eric Hosmer, and I was thinking about Hosmer as well. And Hosmer's a good player, but I don't think he's hit his stride yet.
No.
Whereas I picked a guy who is actually – people may be surprised about this. He's the best hitter on the Braves right now.
Is he really? Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I picked Freddie Freeman, and did Freeman make the All-Star game? I don't remember if he did or he didn't, but he's going to be, if he's not on, if he wasn't on it this year, he'll be a perennial All-Star. He didn't make it this year, I don't think, but he's batting. So let's just take a look at this. If we go to the Braves... there's a lot of people on the Braves that you know about, right? Like McCann's their starting catcher.
Mm-hmm.
They got BJ Upton. They got Justin Upton. They got Jason Hayward. They got Dan Uggla. They got Andrelton Simmons. They got Evan Gattis, all these players. McCann actually has the best OPS, but he's only has 200 plate appearances, which is half of what, or, you know, 60% of what the rest of the team has. Besides him, the best OPS on the team is Freeman.
Right.
And Freeman isn't a super home run hitter. He's more like a 20 home run guy, but he's going to hit 40 doubles and 20 home runs every year.
Wow.
And I think he's, you know, he's not like a Pujols level star first baseman, but I think he's a stud. But those two guys, the catcher and the first baseman, were probably the guys that I was most hesitant about. When we go through the rest of the team, I think they are truly what I wanted to do, which was stars.
Gotcha.
Except for maybe this guy. And second base, I actually picked Rendon.
Wow. You wouldn't have picked him at the beginning of the season.
No, and the reason I picked him is because what he's doing right now. I mean, he's hitting .315 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was.
He's been awesome.
Last week. And he's not at a star level yet, but if he continues to hit like this while playing second base, he'll be the starting second baseman in the All-Star game next year.
God.
He's batting .301 right now, so he's gone down a little bit. But he's basically, you know, obviously he doesn't have enough at-bats to count. But in terms of, like, rating him along with the rest of the second baseman in the league, he's at the top of the list.
Wait, do you have – you don't have his extra base hit. Isn't that, like, an incredible stat for him? Because he's had, like, a ton of – in the game, well, like, every time I see him on base, he's got an extra base hit.
Yeah, he's got 14 doubles already.
Jesus. That's crazy.
In 49 hits, 14 of them are doubles.
That's
right?
Ridiculous.
No, he's been great. And he basically has, I think, the second highest OPS of, like,
wow,
pretty much all second basemen in the NL. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
crazy. I can't believe it. I really can't.
And everybody else is, you know, it's basically Carpenter, Utley, and then him.
Wow.
And, I mean, Aaron Hill's up there, too, but Aaron Hill has, like, 100 plate appearances this year, so I'm not going to count Aaron Hill. But, yeah, I mean, Rendon is – he really – it's hard to – I think it's a little hard to sort of fathom it because we just saw what Harper did.
Right.
But
exactly.
What Rendon's doing is if this was any other team that didn't just have Harper come up and do this last year, all everybody would be talking about was like, oh, my God, we have a superstar playing second base.
Yeah, you're totally right. Totally.
But now we actually get into the superstars. Actually, before I get to that, I picked your boy at shortstop, which is –
yes.
Eaton Segura.
He's amazing. I love him.
A 320 hitter. I mean,
God.
The thing about him is, like, he's an incredible field. And, again, he, like the catcher, he suffers from location. He plays in Milwaukee.
Right.
But he made the All-Star game this year.
He did.
And he's leading the NL in hits right now. He's batting 325. But what's amazing about him is so he has 27 stolen bases, and he's got 11 home runs already. So he's basically projected out to be like a 20 home run, 50 stolen base guy. He's 23 years old.
Crazy. He's a big guy, too, from what I remember.
I think the steals will go down as the power goes up, but he's not, he's like well built. He's like a strong dude.
Right,
he's not
that's what it is.
Tall. He's not like a
tall. He has like an A-Rod type build at his height, is what I remember when I.
Right. Without the steroids, bro.
Well.
We never know.
5'10". He's still pretty big for – well, I guess that's about normal.
Yeah, but he's like 200 pounds, which is
– yeah, that's ridiculous.
Guy. I mean, he's not wiry.
He's like a linebacker. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got pop, and I mean, he's only not a superstar because he plays in Milwaukee, and this is really his – for all – I mean, he played last year, but this is sort of his rookie year. He only had like 150 at-bats last year, so people don't know him yet. If he was on a good team –
people. Well, he's pre arbitration. So right. At the end of the season, he's either going to get a big contract for them or go to another
team.
No. Isn't that what it means?
No. It means that he hasn't even started it yet. Like,
oh God.
He won't be arbitration eligible until 2016.
Oh.
And so he's got
He's going to develop there and then they either have to decide, right?
Yeah, so he's got six more years with them. So,
wow, that's incredible.
Sure they're upset about that. But Harper has the same thing with the Nats.
Right,
so.
Right.
All right, so now moving on to the superstars. Third base, I mean, there's no contest.
Yeah.
Manny Machado. You can if Miguel Cabrera didn't exist, you can make the argument that Manny Machado is the best third baseman in all of baseball, not just under 25.
Wow.
Will
he break the record?
Again, I don't know. I mean,
yes, he will.
You think he will? He might. I mean, I think he has a better chance. Also, those are not. His
lineup is so good right now that he's seeing so many pitches. He's hitting right in front of Chris Davis.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be ridiculous.
So, what's the record? He's at 39.
Yeah.
He's at 39 doubles.
What is it? 70 or 60 something?
74 would be what he.
Oh, that's pretty far.
Yeah, 67 is.
Oh, 67. That's doable.
He's on pace for 74.
Wow.
I think he's got a better chance than Davis does.
Yeah, totally.
But the only thing is that Machado's so young that this is going to be. He might tire.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tyrock.
20 years old.
Well, I just mean that he hasn't played this many games. Like, Harper played a ton of games last year. Machado didn't play as many.
Oh, you think the stats will start going down late in the season?
It's possible. I'm not saying it'll happen. He's good enough that he could overcome it, but it's, you know, that's something you have to think about.
Right.
Left field, another easy one, Harper.
Yep.
Obviously, we love Bryce Harper, but, you know, just the display he put on at the home run derby was awesome.
And with his dad.
Yeah, with his dad.
Amazing.
That's a nice story. Yeah. I think what I wrote on him was that it's not hard to see the next, like, five seasons or so of basically, like, a 400-plus on base and a 600-plus slugging. Like, that's what he's going to – you know, he might not hit 300 every year, but he's going to take so many walks and he's going to hit with such power that he's going to basically have, like, 1,000 OPS every year. Center field is Mike Trout. I mean, these guys. The fact that he can steal all those bases, get on base like that, and hit close to 30 home runs a year. Like, I don't know if he's going to hit 30 every year, but even if he only hits 20, he's a superstar.
He's Jose Canseco.
Maybe.
He is.
Seiko had more power.
True.
He's, I don't know, a little slower, but, like, Henderson was the kind of guy that walked a lot, hit a lot of home runs, and stole a crazy amount.
Right.
I mean, people say that Ricky Henderson was the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. I don't like that.
No.
And the reason I don't like it is because, I mean, Henderson averaged, like, somewhere between 15 and 20 home runs a season. So he was only the greatest leadoff hitter of all time because he was fast.
Right.
So people put him at leadoff. Because Henderson could have easily been a number three hitter. He was one of the greatest hitters of all time.
Yep.
And you could have been perfectly happy slotting him in the three spot or the four spot and getting, you know, RBI protection from him too.
You know who I think is the best leadoff hitter of all time?
John Segura.
Ichiro.
Ichiro?
Yeah, I love him.
Ichiro may be one of the most fun leadoff hitters of all time to watch.
Him or Jeter, I would take.
Jeter, did he hit leadoff the whole time? I mean,
yeah, I thought
I think he hit a lot.
Oh, no, Bernie did during those years, didn't he?
He hit a lot of number two. Bernie would hit lower in the lineup when Bernie was a very underrated player. He was not like a Hall of Famer, but.
Well, who hit first in the 90s? Wasn't it Jeter?
Chuck Knobloch.
Oh, God. Hated him. I hated him.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know who did hit.
I thought Jeter. Why? Then where did Jeter hit? Two?
Well, Knobloch was like on the 98 team. Yeah, Jeter was a number two hitter.
Oh. I always, for some reason, he's a leadoff hitter in my head.
Yeah. Knobloch was actually.
Fine. I'll take Mike Devereaux as the greatest leadoff hitter ever.
Devereaux. Wow, Knobloch was on the team through the end of 2000. So in all the years that they won all those World Series, Jeter was the number two hitter.
Wow. All right, right field.
So let's see. There's a little guy in Los Angeles that
flash in the pan.
So all right, so you had a different pick than me, and I could have had a different pick as well.
Yeah.
I picked Puig because he's just. The word star goes well with him. I mean, his first week was like, we've never seen a first week like that.
Never. That's why he's a flash in the pan.
He's still hitting like 420 or something like that. Maybe he is a flash in the pan. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he's a flash in the pan. I don't know that he's going to hit 391, 422, 616 his whole career, but I don't know. He's just so exciting. It's hard not to love him.
Right.
But actually, the guy that you named
was
Will Myers.
Love him.
There was a big reason why I didn't pick Will Myers is because I think Will Myers is going to be great. But one of the things I wanted was people that really showed
up. Oh, that really stepped out? Yeah, he hasn't stepped out yet.
And he just hasn't had the time yet.
No.
But the other guy that I kind of think probably deserved it more than Puig, but I wanted to put Puig in there.
Uh-huh.
Was Giancarlo Stanton. He's only 23.
He's an amazing hitter.
He's got over 1,500 plate appearances and over 100 home runs, but he's only 23.
And he's on the worst team possible for his career.
Yeah.
It's ruining his career.
10th youngest player of all time to hit 100 home runs.
God. 8th
fastest in terms of games played.
Wow.
He and Harper are the most powerful guys.
You know, he's my one fantasy regret. I trade him away to you.
Well, he'll be available next year because my contract with him.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Many moons ago. All right, so on to the pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
So I sort of did it in order and sort of didn't.
Right.
But I actually put Matt Harvey first.
Well, after seeing him throw a curveball in the All-Star game, I believe now.
He's just been unstoppable.
It's unbelievable.
He's been so good this season. And I don't know if long-term he projects to be as good as Strasburg is, but I don't see why not.
How did I not know who the hell this guy was until this year? That's what I don't get.
And I don't see that it matters. You know, people make such big deals about, like, whether Harper's better than Trout or
this
or that.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't care. I'm a Nats fan, so Harper's better than Trout because he's on my team. But that doesn't mean he's a better player. He's great. He's an amazing player. And so I picked Harvey and Strasburg as the top of the list. Now, the other guys I had was Chris Sale.
Awesome.
He's just been incredible year after year. And he looks like he's going to break down, but he hasn't yet. Right. He looks like his arm's going to come flying off.
Yeah.
Another guy that I was surprised about how young he was, we're talking the under 25 squad, Madison Bumgarner.
Love
him. 23.
Love him.
And he's basically been the backup, the number three pitcher in San Francisco for so much of his career. He's the only one on the team that's doing good.
Yeah.
Although Lincecum just had a no-hitter, but.
But, yeah, he's had to pitch behind Kane and Lincecum and learn from them for the past, what is this, his third year now?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
Good.
Unbelievable.
And the last guy I put on the list was Shelby Miller, who's just been.
He's had a good year.
More than a strikeout an inning. Like, he's awesome. And the one guy that I didn't put in there as a starter, but I kind of wanted to put in there, was Matt Moore.
He's awesome. Conference.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So good. And there were more guys that we could have put in. You know, you named, like, Chapman.
Yeah. Like, he's probably 35.
Well, no, yeah, we don't know for sure that he's under 25.
Right.
Assuming he is, he'd be a great pick, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the whole point of that little, like, post was to just talk about how awesome this league is now, how many great young players there are. Like, we have young superstars, a lot of them coming up.
I would have to say this is definitely, like, a renaissance of, like, players right now. It's unbelievable. Teams are just getting better and better.
And who's got one of the youngest teams in baseball?
We do.
And so let's – all right, so the first half for the Nats, not exactly going as planned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
No, I think, room to panic, though.
Well, you know, somebody on Twitter said, what are your thoughts on the season so far coming up to the All-Star break? And what I said was, it's disappointing but not disastrous.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody asked me to explain that, and I said, well, it's disappointing that the record is disappointing. They're one game over 500.
Right.
But it's not disastrous. They're only six back with nobody in front of them. Right. In between.
And we need to – basically comes down to we need to beat the Braves outright or we need to stay ahead of the Pirates, in my opinion.
I think both. Both. I mean, I've been saying this for two or three weeks now, but since Rendon and Worth got put in the lineup and it went from three guys that could hit to five and then slowly you started getting like you got Harper back. Mm-hmm. Got Ramos back.
Which is huge.
Suddenly, they have a lineup that from Suspan's not hitting, but from 2 to 8, you have seven guys that could conceivably hit 20 home runs in a season. You have just a dangerous lineup up and down. And I don't think people realize how much we miss Ramos because Suzuki is likable. But Suzuki was, I mean, he hit terribly.
He's better when he doesn't play every day.
Right, he's just—he has a 281 on base.
Oh God,
a 281 on base. That's not major league caliber.
No, but they had no choice.
They didn't.
They had to play him.
So I mean, they basically went from having LaRoche, Desmond, and Zimmerman as the only hitters.
Wow.
And then they added Rendon and Worth, and then they added Harper and Ramos. And, you know, now up and down the lineup, all you look at, the only hole in the lineup is Span. And Span has such a track record, and he's old enough, but not that old, that you think he's probably going to get better.
Yeah.
But
I want him back at the top of the lineup. I think
I'm okay with him batting eighth. Like, I don't care.
Really? I think it's counterproductive. I think he plays better when he's at the top of the lineup.
Well, he hasn't played that well this year. Nah. So he's been at the top of the lineup all year.
He started off so good, though.
Do you like Harper batting at the top of the lineup?
Yes, because he gets more at-bats.
I don't like him batting first, but I'd be okay with him batting second. I'd actually, if
second
I could,
be better. Yeah.
I'd rather have Worth batting first.
I'm okay with that. He did great when he did that.
I would do Worth, Harper, Zimmerman, I guess LaRoche, Rendon.
I'd rather Rendon third, but they'll never move Zimmerman.
But they Davey likes alternating, so if you're
oh, that's right.
If you have Rendon batting third, then you're putting Zimmerman fifth.
Right.
But I'd actually be okay with Zimmerman third, Rendon fourth. I guess he doesn't have
the power there. He needs to be a third or a six.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just – whatever the lineup is.
Or no, fifth, because I guess you have Desmond hits. Desmond's the perfect six hitter in the league. There's no better six hitter.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
What makes him perfect?
I don't know. Just that when I think of a six hitter, I think him because he's right there where if the four – if
he's got the power to hit four.
Yeah.
Five. Yeah, Desmond doesn't have the doesn't quite have the on base to be a true middle lineup guy, but he's got the power. So he's sort of a 5-6 guy, and you'd hope he'd be six because you'd hope he'd have a five. So I get that.
Right.
But anyway, so let's talk about who do you think is the MVP of the first half? Because they did win over half their games.
MVP Jordan Zimmerman.
Interesting.
Yes. He's who I step away from the first half and go, that guy played over my expectations.
So I think that's a good pick, and I think that's the first thought I had was Zimmerman.
Uh-huh.
But with Gio and Strasburg both recovering and really actually pitching well since kind of since the beginning of May, I actually think their MVP this year is probably Desmond.
I would totally agree with that as well.
Desmond has one of the best OPS on the team. He's been there the whole time. He's been solid fielding. The only guy that might make an argument is, and they haven't been playing that great, so maybe not, but ever since he's come back, Worth has just been on fire.
Right.
Worth has been incredible since he comes back, and so since he came back. So if they make a recovery and really do come in, a lot of it's going to be like what happened when Worth came back. But, yeah, I think Desmond and Zimmerman were the two that I thought of, and since you said Zimmerman, I went with Worth.
All right. Wow, super long episode. But
that's
a lot
right.
to talk about.
That's
a lot
right.
to talk about.
We talked a lot about not Nat stuff. So coming up on the second half, we talked a little bit about what you need to see.
Right.
I mean, I think you're right that they need to go out and beat the Braves. But really, they can't fall much further behind is the big thing. They've got to try and keep pace. And like I said, I've been saying this for a few weeks, that the hitting has turned around. And it really has. And I put it out on the site a little bit. And you can look it up on the website, but they went from being – if you look at their runs per game over the course of the season, it's like second to last. It's 14th in the NL. But if you look since the day after Rendon and Worth started playing together, they have basically a top five offense. Despite what they did despite what they did in Philly and in Miami, despite that, they still score like 4.25 runs per game. And so
that's pretty good. Anytime it's over four, I'm really get excited.
Right. And so, yeah, we see these one run games and two run games and we think, oh, it's the same old Nats, but it's really not.
Right.
And if you look at the volatility of the runs scored, it's not as bad as you might think. You might think like, oh, they either score 10 or they score 0. But that's not really true either, because I did a little analysis and saw that for games where they scored less than 3 runs, they had a higher percentage of those games before Worth and Rendon came back than after. And so it's not like they're still continuing to score only in bunches. So I think in the next month, we're really going to see you know, we're going to start noticing that a bit more, and we're going to see that this team actually is scoring runs. They're not a prolific offense by any means, but they're doing much better. And so for the second half, we just need to see that offense, and we need to see it happen.
With this lineup, no trades.
No trades. I mean, who are you going to trade? What are they going to do?
Espinosa. For nothing.
I mean, people are talking about them trading for a fifth starter, and Heron is...
No, Jordan. I love him.
Taylor Jordan looks good, but he just came off Tommy John, I think, so I don't know...
Oh, he's limited.
Yeah. How long he's going to be around for, but, you know, if they can pitch him through mid-August or even the end of August...
I'm a huge fan of him. When I saw him pitch, I was like, that guy has it.
I think he's a legitimate... Like, I think they'd be hard-pressed for him not to be a starter next year. I think he's a legitimate number four, number five guy.
Totally. That's exactly where I see him. Like, him, he's perfect for that spot. He's pitched so... Even though he doesn't have a win, he's pitched so well in those games.
He's just... He gives up so many ground balls.
Yeah.
That it's the old thing, like, you know what? Like... If you're not going to hit a home run against a guy and you're not going to hit a double in the gap that often, then you really do have to string together like three or four hits just to score one run.
Right.
And so he can let these balls go through the infield as long as he doesn't walk people.
He doesn't. Three walks total.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's fun to see. Yeah,
he's great. All right. Huge announcement. We are finally on iTunes. So
yes.
Search through the website, through a browser, for the Nationals Review podcast. Or, of course, follow your Twitter at Nationals Review.
And you at Culmination.
And you will see we have links right there to go to it. But please subscribe to this show. We want to see who's out there, who's listening. We're not on the iTunes actual app yet. I assume that's going to come soon. So then what I would like you all to do is, if you have a different app that you use to manage your podcasts, see if you can search us on that and send us a communication and let us know if that worked, because we're waiting for all that to happen, but you should definitely subscribe.
Absolutely. Right. Go to iTunes. It should be up in the next couple of days, we hope. But in the meantime, we'll have the link on the website.
And the show notes. It'll be in the show notes.
For you to see how to subscribe.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, and we will see you at the park.
See you at the park.
You need to get back in the arms of a good friend. And I need to get back in the arms of a girlfriend. I didn't know nobody, and then I saw you coming my way. You need to get back in the arms of a good friend. Oh, 'cause honey, believe me, she'd love to call you my girlfriend. You need to get back in the arms of a good friend. Oh, 'cause honey, believe me, sure love to call you my girlfriend. Cause you got a good thing going, baby. You only need somebody to love. Well, you got a good thing going. looking for someone to love.